It's about 20 after 2.
My watch has been acting up, and that's the reason a while ago, at 11 o'clock, my watch said 20 minutes to 1. And what's going on?
But your your mother had your clothes made, you said?
Yes. Your daddy would know. Mary Lotz. You know, I don't know who lives in that house now. Just you know where the berry farm.
Right.
Okay, then the next house, the house that you turn in the lane, go way back and you can't see the house from the road there, just before you get up on the New Providence Road.
Oh, I know where you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, my grandmother's brother lived there, Uncle Jim and Aunt Lotz.
Lotz.
Mm-hmm. And Mary, I don't know how she was kin to them. I don't have any idea, but I know she lived there. And Mary Stewart lived there with them. Mary Stewart Lotz lived there with them. And John Henry Lotz lived there with them. And Miss Wilson lived there. Miss Wilson. And Mary sewed for everybody. So Mother had her make my clothes.
Did you have a lot of clothes?
No, I didn't have a lot of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't have a lot of clothes. Back then, you didn't have. Maybe that was something about the Depression
mm-hmm.
that I didn't realize. But it was you. Like, you couldn't buy chubby clothes then. You just didn't buy them. So Mary made all my clothes.
And did you have special dress for Sunday? Or?
Yes, it had special, and we got I always got a new pair of white Sunday school shoes in summer, and a new pair of patent leather shoes. And then for winter, I got they call them Oxfords. And then when brown and white went, saddle Oxfords, I got those. But I didn't have any shoes.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So you went to church at New Providence?
New Providence. Mm-hmm.
Did you go pretty much every Sunday?
Oh,
was that
yeah.
expected?
No, yeah. We sat in New Providence. I was trying to think when I was doing this paper. I think we sat in church either one or two rows behind where your grandparents sat. But we sat to the right of the middle aisle, and they sat more to the left
mm-hmm.
over next to that other aisle.
They were six pews back.
Okay, that's we sat.
That's what I remember.
Yeah,
they were only six back.
Okay, that's about where we sat. And I went to Bible school. Mr. Wiseman took the bus to Bible school. And Lou and I sang in the choir.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. We sang in the choir. And
are you a good singer like Mr. Weitzel?
No, I'm not. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I always sang alto. But I sang in the Glee Club. I sang in our church choir.
So you had Glee Club at high school?
Oh, yes. Ms. Trimmer was... While she was there, she did everything. She coached ball, taught Latin, taught English, put on plays and everything. But then during, Miss Trimmer wasn't there when I got to high school. She was not there.
Oh, she had
already gone. Mm-hmm. She'd gone. And I had two principals, I guess. A Mr. Botkin and a Mr. Stockner was a principal. When I graduated.
And did Mrs. Whipple play for the Glee Club?
I believe she did. I believe she did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. And I played on the basketball team.
Oh, you did?
I played.
Oh, the Weitzels are really basketball players, huh?
Lou and I played. If it had ball to it, Lou and I played. Yeah, we played basketball. Mm-hmm.
Did you travel to Fairfield?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, the year I was a junior and a senior, I think we won the county championship both years.
What schools did you play?
We played Goshen and Effinger and Natural Bridge and Fairfield and Spotswood, Middlebrook.
You had a big schedule then.
Mm-hmm, we did. Then we went, that year we went, that was a year before Earl got there, I believe. We won the district, we went to Roanoke and played for the championship there, and we played a school called Bent Mountain. I've never seen such big girls in all my life. We went in there, we thought we were going to whip them good, and whew, they really ate us up. I mean, they were big girls.
Did you have six players on the team then?
No.
Two forwards, two guards, and two rovers?
No. We had two forwards. We had a center forward. And then two forwards and two guards.
So five.
Mm-hmm.
I played center.
Because
you were tall?
Mm-hmm. I played center. Mm-hmm. We had a good time.
That sounds like it.
We really did.
Now, did you have to take home ec in high school?
Yeah, I took 3 years home ec. Still can't sew.
Can you cook? You can cook,
though. But I can't sew. I can't sew. I laughed at Miss Carson so many times. They passed that. We had what they call a practical. The written exam, I knew I could do that. But then you had to draw out of this bucket something practical. Do you know Anna Black?
No.
Anna Miller Black, who was the Commissioner of Revenue.
I don't think so.
Rockbridge County.
No.
She graduated. She said, I said, if I draw a buttonhole out of there, I just may as well give it up, because I will not graduate. I cannot make a button. I said, I can't even sew a button on. My son make a buttonhole. And she said, well, if I get any of that cooking stuff, I won't be able to do it either. She sat right next to me. And they passed that. She could really sew. They passed that bucket. Miss Carson passed that bucket. And I reached down there. And I pulled that thing out and it's just biscuits. Oh, I've got enough. And Anna pulled her next one out and she got the down buttonhole. We love to take that.
Well, that was fortunate.
Yeah.
So everyone passed.
Everyone
graduated.
Everyone graduated. All 18 of us.
Yeah.
Not many.
18 in your class.
Not many of us left.
How many boys and how many girls?
Oh, I'm not sure.
About even?
I don't think it's quite as many boys. But somebody told me the other day, I think Debbie told me the other day, that not the two boys left.
Because
Bobby Bolin died last week.
Oh, he was in your class?
He was in our class. Mm-hmm. I think Betty told me it was just two boys left. So, a lot of the girls. So, every morning when I wake up, I'm lucky.
What do you remember about World War II?
A lot. One thing I remember, I cried when... I cried a lot when Pearl Harbor, because I thought John Layton was going to go. And I guess by that time I had realized we didn't fight as much, you know, then. I mean, we were more mature. And I guess I thought, well, you know, I lost my daddy, now my big brother's going to have to go. And of course, so many had gotten killed, and Troy Hickman, who's John Layton's best friend, was killed, one of the first ones.
Mm.
George Slusser.
Where was Troy Hickman killed?
Troy Hickman, I'm not sure where he was killed. I believe, though, it was like, he was probably in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Or like
mm-hmm.
that. It was, you know. And George Slusser and George East. A couple more. But I was just afraid he was going to have go. And then we, Miss Trimmer had a, what she called a victory cord. And you wore a certain day of the week, once a week. She had captains and sergeants and lieutenants and all of that. You wear a white blouse and a navy skirt and red tie around here, and you marched. Of course, you marched Miss Trimmer anyway. We marched in and out north. And then we had, and I think Lou, and I don't remember doing that, but I think Lou did. And I think maybe I went with her. When the practice for blackouts, you'd have to go, I believe it was up this school. They had the watchtower. You take your turn watching. I think Lou was one of those that did that.
So you stay up all night?
No. Just in the day, you know.
Oh.
Not at night. And then we've all bought defense things. They had the little books, and you take our little monies and go down to the post office and buy one stamp or two stamps and paste it in there, and when you get the book full, then you buy a bond. And
you did that?
I'm not sure how many of us ever got enough to get a bond, but we bought the stamps. And then, of course, I remember, you know, you couldn't get hose. Mother couldn't do much baking because she couldn't get sugar, and couldn't get coffee, couldn't get gas. Something else she couldn't get.
And this is while she was running the business?
Yeah, see, this was back, yeah, mm-hmm, this was, she was still at home then. She was still at home then. But I think that's when margarine first came out, it was white. Just like Crisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little orange tablet in the back, like a fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
In a little piece of plastic. And you mixed that up, and then it made it yellow. And I remember Miss Dice, when she lived across the side of there in the field, she used to let me mix that margarine up, make it color. But
so you felt more like you were eating butter instead of...
It tasted terrible. Margarine now, I don't think they're really that bad. Ooh, that was terrible. Terrible. Margarine did. But you know, during the war, it was, we entertained ourselves. Lou and Jude and I, all three, loved to dance. We played the hit parade. It came on Saturday night, and we put the radio on, and we'd go out on in the summertime, and that's when they were living right there beside of me. And we'd go out there and dance on the porch, or they'd come over in our house, and we'd dance on the porch. And when Carl was in Italy, and of course there was no TV, and not much news, Gabriel Peter came on at 6 o'clock at night, and I can see Miss Wiseman yet, sitting there by the side of that radio listening, just intensely listening. And of course he was wounded, and was sitting back here with the Wilson. I remember going down there with him. Everywhere they went, I was counting one in the family. I owe a great deal to Mr. and Ms. Wiseman, because when Mother was gone, of course John Layton was there and Virginia was there, but that wasn't like an older person, you know. And I mean, I just practically lived there. And they counted me as one of their children. And even after Mother married Hugh, they always went to the Nuts Christmas Day. And I had my Christmas with Mother and John Layton and them, the boys all came on Christmas Eve. We had our big Christmas on Christmas Eve. So on Christmas morning, I mean, we'd get up and the children would have the Santa Claus and everything. Then the next place we went, we always went to the Wiseman's Christmas dinner, because that was just like home. And I was with Lou, sat up with Lou the night Miss Wiseman died. Lou and I sat at the hospital. But they were really good to me. They were really, really good to me. She was just like a second mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the war was, and I remember that when it was over, car full of us went to Lexington, just sat on the street and watched everybody celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's what you did in Saturday night, and then you went to a movie, and then you just sat on the street and watched people go by.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe if you were lucky, you might get a grilled cheese sandwich and a Coke at McCrum's, but that's the extent of the fun here.
So did you go out with some of the boys from Brownsburg before you met Mr. Chin?
Yeah, I sure did. In fact, I dated Kenny Beard a while, and Winnie and I were good friends. She was dating Dick White, who was the preacher of New Providence that married us. She was dating Dick.
And who's Winnie?
Winnie Beard, Richard,
oh,
and Kenny's sister.
Okay.
She was
okay.
Killed in a car wreck years ago. She
uh-huh.
graduated from Longwood. In fact, I went to Longwood and spent a weekend with her one time.
I don't remember her.
No, a beautiful girl and so sweet and so smart. A good basketball player. Just, we had a good time together.
Was she your age?
She graduated the year before I did. She was in with Francis Weiser. And, trying to think who, it seemed to me like Bud Martin was in that group called, maybe you dated Winnie some, I'm not sure, but I know she dated Dick White, and I thought, maybe she did date, I'm not sure if she did or not, but I dated Kenny, and I dated J.S. Wiseman. He's dead. Kenny's dead. And my first little boyfriend, I think John Layton, I'm not sure whether John Layton let me do Poe Harrell's mother was still at home, but with little Charlie Poole. And I must have been like a freshman in high school when he asked me to go to a movie with him. Of course, they called it show then, he didn't call it movie. So, I told Charlie about it. That's about all around Brownsburg that I dated.
Mm-hmm. But you would go into Lexington for Saturday night?
Yeah, we go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where we went to Lexington. That's where
do you do most of your shopping in Lexington?
Mm-hmm. Dara Hutton, like the only place up there to shop was Dara Hutton, I guess.
Was Leggett's there then?
No.
Mm-hmm. So Dara Hutton was there for a while.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Closed on Wednesday afternoon in the summertime.
Did you shop for groceries at the stores in Brownsburg?
You know, now that I don't really have any recollection because see when Daddy was running the store, we got him out of the
uh-huh.
store and then John Layton ran the store and they had their own groceries. So it wasn't much going to, now when Daddy was living after he closed the store, Mother would go to Stanton to do things, shop, and she would go to the A&P store because I remember watching her grind that coffee, A&P coffee,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and she would do that. She'd get groceries like that. But of course she grew most of everything. And my grandparents butchered. That was a real treat when grandma and granddaddy, they usually butchered on Thanksgiving.
They're the ones who lived in Brownsburg.
Mm-hmm. And they had this real high back porch.
Uh-huh.
And so then the other couple other kids there in Brownsburg, we'd go and we'd sit on the back high porch and we could look down mm-hmm. and see them butcher. And that was great fun. And then they made apple butter, usually made apple butter around Halloween night and Halloween day. And the people would come in, grandma's friends, mother, they would peel apples the night before. And then make the apple butter the next day. And then grandma would make biscuits when the apple butter was finished. Then we'd do that. We had biscuits. But grandma made the
to cook it in a big copper kettle outside.
So, yeah. I remember my kids at school when I tell them about butchering and apple butter, and a lot of times we'd be sitting there maybe 2 months later and we'd have some time on our hand. I said, what do y'all want to do while we got this human? They said, tell us about those hogs again. They love to hear that story about the butchering. And Dan's daddy, Dan Franklin, Zach, my granddaddy wouldn't butcher unless Zach could help. I mean, Zach, that's what he did around town. And he stayed booked up, but granddaddy would always have to have Zach. He booked him way ahead of time so he could help.
Huh. I know Bud Martin told me that Zach was really good with the animals. If an animal was sick, he would go out and get something out of the woods.
Dan told me one day I was over at Dan's, not too long before Dan died, before he went to the nursing home. And he was talking, and he said, you know one thing? He said, my daddy raised, I think Dan told me it was 10 of those kids. And the mother died, I think, when maybe the youngest one was born. He said, and my daddy raised all 10 of us. And he said that we all grew up, I guess we are, he said, good citizens. We all grew up and all of us had jobs and pretty good jobs. And I said, Dan, your daddy never did remarry, did he? He said, no. He said, he's going to raise his kids himself. And he did. And every one of those kids really turned out well.
What was his job when they butchered?
Oh, Zach did everything. He did the, you know, the cutting of the, hanging them up, and he just did everything. I mean, he did it. Everybody did it at home. He didn't take it like you do now to these packing places. He did it at home, and then he helped cut the meat to make the sausage and all that.
Then, did most of it get frozen, or was it cured?
Oh, cured. Hams were sugar cured. And hang them up in smokehouse. And Grandma had spring house. And Daddy had a cow, and of course Grandma and then had a cow. They had a spring house. It's torn down now. And it was that little creek ran down, and then that's where all the milk's kept in the crocks down there. And she put a plate on it, put a rock on top of the plate so the water wouldn't go back and forth together. And Mother would tell me to go to Grandma's and get some cream for whipping. She's going to make a cream pie or something. And everything, my Grandma had chickens. She tried to teach me to milk, and I never could learn to milk. I never could. Daddy tried to teach me, and Grandma said she knew she could do it. She could teach me. And I tried and tried and tried. I just could not do it. I was trying, I was determined, but I could not learn to milk.
That's funny. So they had chickens and hogs and cows.
Just a cow, one cow. And then, of course, they're right next to Grandma with the house, and then that's where the spring was. Everybody in Brownsburg got water from that spring. I don't think that spring there anymore.
Is it your phone?
It'll answer.
So, you didn't learn to mill, but did you help in the garden?
Oh, yes, I helped in the garden.
I had asked you if you worked in the garden.
Oh,
you
yes.
Did a lot of garden work.
I didn't. Mostly what I did and John Layton did, Mother was a... Daddy didn't do much in the garden, and John Layton never liked garden work, and I still tease him about it, but we'd have to pick up, there were a lot of rocks down there in their garden, so we'd have to pick up a lot of rocks, and pull weeds. We did a lot of weed pulling. John Layton didn't like it, and he used to say, I like this garden stuff, and if I ever get garden of my own, I'm not working that old garden. but now Jinx.
Somebody works it because it always looks good.
Yeah, we. Of course, I've always called her Jinx. Everybody up there calls her Virginia, but our family, we call her Jinx. And she's always worked a garden and loves to work the garden. But we had a garden when I lived in Stanton, and we had a big garden. I mean, a big garden. But when we moved down here, we just said we had enough of it.
Now, where did Mrs. Weitzel live, Virginia?
She lived in the Robridge Baths. She lived there. And her daddy drove a school bus out to Brownsburg, Mr. Kiteway. And Kenny Beard's wife is her sister.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when did they get married?
I was in the seventh grade, I think, when they got married. I'm not sure exactly what year that was, but see, I was 1940, I was in the fourth grade, so 41, I was in the fifth, probably 1943.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they got married at New Providence?
They got married at the manse.
Oh,
just at the manse. Mm-hmm. And Ruth and I went, Ruth and I were talking about it one time we were together not long ago, who else went. I don't know whether mother went or whether her parents went or not, but I know Ruth and I were there at the wedding. Not sure what. I guess Dr. Walthall maybe was there, because he was there when Daddy died. He may have still been there. Dr. Locke White's one married up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you did a lot of canning and things?
After
the garden?
Mm-hmm. At home?
Mm-hmm.
Mother canned a lot, and of course Grandma did too. Mother and Grandma canned together. We didn't have freezers then either.
Was there a cannery in Brownsburg, or did you do it all at home?
No, did it all at home. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a cannery being there. If it was there, it was after I left.
Mm-hmm.
We did it all at home. Of course, we had a wood stove. I mean, we burned coal. I remember perspiration just pouring off of Mother. I know one of the things Mother was so, where John Layton and Jinx's kitchen is now, and where Mother's kitchen was too before, it was a back porch. It was a screened in back porch. And I remember Daddy bought Mother an oil stove when it was yellow and green, had an oven on and everything, and in summer, and that's what she cooked on in the summertime because it was cooler right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
On
that porch, screened in porch. And we had a table right there. It was kind of like, kind of like our son's porch.
And that's where she did the canning?
That's where she did the canning. And but up until then, she did it on the wood stove. I mean, coal stove. We burned coal, not wood. Grandma burned wood. We burned coal.
So who do you remember most from growing up? Who are the people that really stand out in your memory?
Well, I guess the children, there really weren't, the Carwell girls were there. And we had a lot of fun together, too. The Carwell girls and Lou and Jude and I. We Miss Wiseman knew us go there unless she went with us, or some adult. Go down there at the big creek. You know where the Carwells live?
Mm-hmm.
Then you cross that fence and go over there in that meadow, and there was a big tree, and the limb bowed out, and you could swing out on that and jump. And we just shoo the cows out of the way and get on in there with the typhoid fever and whatever else was in there and had fun all afternoon. Sometimes we'd take a picnic down there with us. But now the Carwell girls, Mildred died not too long ago. She was a basketball player too. And Catherine's still living. Cat, I call her. In fact, I talked to her the other day because I came home and she'd been here with a box of tomatoes and left them for me. And her husband's dead. And another little girl that I played with,
she's dead too. There weren't actually that many children there, but it was just sort of everybody. You know, there's no, I guess the person who I really thought and looked up to was Miss Whipple and Miss John Patterson. Miss Rosnell Patterson, she taught me math. And I really looked up to her, and Mr. Tom Bosworth taught me Latin. He had retired from Richmond. He taught in Richmond, and then he came back to Brownsburg, and he taught high school there. And I really, he was a pretty strong character, Bill. Now, too.
Did he have a store? Was it that?
No, that was his brother that had the store and the post office. And Mr. Tom never was married. He lived in the house where they built it, made it real long there. The house I was telling you was for, I think it's for sale, just for that big, they built an inn. Who lived in there?
Frost.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's where Mr. Tom lived. And he would, like at Thanksgiving or Easter or Christmas, we'd say, "Mr. Tom, we're not going to have any homework now for Latin, are we?" And he always shut his eyes and he says, "Yes, indeed. The day after a holiday is a working day and you have to prepare for it." So we had homework. No question. We had homework.
But you learned Latin.
Mm-hmm. Learned Latin. That's right.
Now, was there sort of competition between the stores, between Mr. Supender's stores and the Huffmans and the Bosworths and the Weitzels? Or?
I don't really think so. Mr. Bosworth didn't have much in his. It was just more, I don't know, it was more like an old store, and it didn't stock very much stuff in it, you know, just very little stuff. And of course the Supingers, I guess, and the Huffmans were more in competition down there across from each other. And then of course the farm store came, mm-hmm. See. And Daddy had closed his up, but then when John Layton reopened, see, those others were gone. They had, Mr. Supinger had died, and Huffman's had closed up, I think, when John Layton opened that up. But I don't remember any, you know, hard feelings or anything like that. Maybe I just didn't pay attention to it or know about it.
Did people usually go to one or the other, or did they sort of take turns and go
I think they just do like they do now, wherever somebody might sell this cheaper than that uh-huh. one and another cheaper than that yeah. one and just bought different things mm-hmm. from different people, I think. I don't have a very good memory of, I know in our store where everything was placed, and I know what it was like, but I don't have a good memory of whether people bought different things at different places.
Were you ever in Mrs. Morris's church?
Oh, yes. When I went over there, Sunday school, so he shouldn't have it. I don't think they had it in the morning. They had it in the afternoon. So
you'd go to New Providence mm-hmm, Sunday school mm-hmm. in the morning.
And then she had lots of evangelistic services. And
you went.
And so we all went, and the kids. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was, Miss Mars was it. She was a dear, dear little lady. She died had such a sad life at her death. She had, I guess now we call it Alzheimer's, but back then we call it hardening of the artery.
Uh-huh.
She didn't really know much.
And she died in Brownsburg?
No, I think she went, I think her son lived in Newport News. She had a son and a daughter, and her daughter lived in Baltimore, Georgia, and I believe her son's name was Clarence, and he lived in Newport News, and I think she died, I think probably he took her down there and put her in her home, but she was so mixed up and confused.
How long was she in Brownsburg?
Oh, now that's one thing I remember from early on, that she was always there. She was, and she had every room in her house named. It was all them.
What kind of names?
Well, like Haven Rest and the Morris Room, and that little building out at the back was called William Penn, and the prayer room was upstairs, and Quiet Something. I can't think what that one was. It was Quiet Something.
Did you go to her house?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Charlene says I went to everybody's house. He teased me. We'd talk about those things. He said, Mother never knew where to find you. You were somebody's house all the time. No matter whose it was. If they come in, I went. A lot of them, I went and they didn't say come in.
Was Mrs. Morris old?
Well, I thought she was old, but she wasn't old.
But she was a widow and her children were grown.
Oh, yes, grown, yeah.
So she lived there by herself.
Mm-hmm. She lived in a great big house by herself until this family came in that she took in, and then they lived there.
And did they sort of take care of her for rent? Or?
He worked, I think he worked for the highway department for a while. I think that's what he did. And she didn't, of course, didn't work. She had those three children, but that house, when they left, was nothing like it was when they came. It was terrible shape. And then after she started losing it, you know, that she just couldn't manage it all.
And when was that, when she started to
Let me see. Now that time, of, as far as years, she had already moved away from there when Daddy died in 1940. She wasn't there then, I don't believe. I don't believe she was there then, I'm not sure.
Did she sell the house before she left, or did it sit empty for a while?
No, I don't know. No, the Swopes bought it. Carl Swope and Marie were the first people who bought it. I don't know who that, I guess they bought it from whoever her children, or whoever that, you know, left it to. Because I had already gone then and I didn't hear much about it. She was an evangelist, too. I mean, she preached like that, you know.
So you heard her preach?
Oh, yeah. She was a real tiny little lady, but, boy, she could really preach. And there's a cemetery up there back of that church, too. There's some people been buried up there.
In the yard where where there are no markers?
No markers.
Were they just paupers that...
No, they were people. No, they were people. I think they went to that church. I think there were three or four of them up there. John Layton, now. Let me see. One of them was a baby. I'm trying to think whose baby that was. Mm. That's just left me for. There are a couple people there. I think there are two or three buried up there.
And what kind of church was it?
Friends. It was called a Friends Church. And the Church of the Nazarene in Stanton bought it. And they moved it down there. And it wasn't down there very long until it burned down.
Oh, what a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Stewart gave me a collection plate for the museum, the Brownsburg Museum. Somehow she had this little wooden collection plate from that church.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I think Mrs. Morris had given it to her parents.
Okay.
For the wise ones when she died.
Okay.
And then Lou donated it to the museum.
Oh, well, that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was nice.
So we have a little memento of the church, even if the building burned. But
yeah, and what I can remember, Mother, we'd sit on the porch, and Mother would say to Daddy, we ought to go over there to church tonight. She had a lot of night evangelists. mother said, we ought to go over there to church tonight. And he said, I don't see any need of me walking over there to that church when I can sit right here in this chair, comfortable, and hear every word she's saying. Because they, of course, no air conditioning, the doors, the windows were all open. And I mean, she put the wrath of God right on you. She really did. And then when the Ashbury Church up there, when they have their lawn party, I remember one night, Lou and Boyd and Earl and I had been somewhere. That was before we were married. Any of us were married. And we got home, and one of the four of us said, it was the night of the lawn party, and we had gotten a cantaloupe somewhere. And one of us said, go up there to the church and get some vanilla ice cream. So they did. And we sat there, and Lou sat there and had cantaloupe with that vanilla ice cream. I never did go up there at a lawn party, but we did do that.
Where were the lawn parties?
They were up there. I guess they have a basement to that church. I guess they do. Maybe they have
so
this
car. It was called a lawn party.
Uh-huh, lawn party.
It was inside.
Maybe so. I don't know. I never really knew. They had one every year.
Mm-hmm.
Every year they had a lawn party. Every year. And then another thing Brownsburg had, and I remember, Jolly said he remembered it too. The lot between us and the house next to us where Lou and them lived, they had a, I don't know, Jolly said he didn't know what they called it. He said he thought maybe they called it Sideshow. He didn't know. But this group of people came, and I think they came more than one year. And they put this big tent up in that yard, in that lot, and they had a talk of a variety show. And they had girls with these fancy dresses on and, you know, all that stuff.
Did you go?
I don't think I went, but I would just remember them being there. And I told John Layton, it seemed to me like they came over to our house and get some water or something to use. I don't even know how many nights they were there, but I remember they came, I know, one year, and maybe more than that, and put on this show. So I don't know what kind of show it was.
Did you always have indoor plumbing in your house?
No, we didn't. We were one of the first people who got it. I'm not saying we were the first, but I mean like a group of five or six got it about the same time we were in that group. No, I remember very well when we did not, because I was always afraid of snakes, and I was just always wanting mother to go with me because I was afraid to step on a snake or something. But no, we had an outside privy.
And do you remember, did you always have electricity?
Yes, now Grandma and Granddaddy never had electricity.
Oh, they did?
No, they never did. And Daddy wanted to put electricity in that house, and he wanted to put water in the house, and they just wouldn't hear to it. Did not want it at all. So I thought I was really big the first time Grandma let me carry the lamp, because I used to spend a lot of nights with Grandma. And I thought I was really big stuff when I carried that lamp by myself. It was fun growing up there. It was fun.
Oh, it must have been.
It was fun.
And it sounds like you had great friends.
We did. And Halloween, we had fun on Halloween. We'd take somebody's chair off of their porch and put it on somebody else's porch, you know, that kind of stuff. Nothing bad, but just move it all around. And it was just, we had a good time. There in that lot in the wintertime, I had a wool snowsuit, and it stay out in that lot and sleigh ride until my legs would chap. They were, and they had ice hanging on the pants, and go in and get warm and right back out there again. Go all the way down to that creek.
Yeah, that's a pretty good hill.
Mm-hmm. And those, the I'm not sure, but I think that was some kind, maybe that was Uncle Letcher's son that lived back there. I guess that's where Leroy lives now, down at the bottom of that hill. Pitt Pleasant used to live down there. And he had lots of kids. Boy, we had fun with them. Winona was one of them, and Dickie. Dickie lived in Lexington. I think Dickie was pretty well thought of up there. Vivian was one of them. A whole bunch of them. Used to love to go down there and play.
Were they your age? Some of those were your age? Mm-hmm.
There's always one. Mm-hmm. There was always somebody around there that was my age. The Carwells, they had a big family, so they had them all ages. And we had a lot of fun with them.
It do you remember when their house burned?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I sure do. I sure do remember that. You could see it from our upstairs window. Mm-hmm. Mr. Carwell, Roscoe's mother, and my grandmother were sisters. And Miss Maggie Lotz lived in Newport. Some of her people go to, no, who is that goes to y'all's church? New Providence Church. Davis.
Mary Glenn Davis.
Aunt Maggie lived in that house where they lived. That was Grandma's sister. And Roy Lotz, his daddy, was Grandma's brother. It was a big family, I think.
What about Christmas?
We had cedar trees.
Oh, you had cedar trees,
and I don't remember who got the tree. I guess Daddy did when we were little. But then after I got big enough, there again, like I said, I guess that's why Lou and us were so close. We did everything together, and Ms. Wiseman and Lou and Jude and I would go get the tree, and we'd go either up on the hill back, way back up in there. But then a couple of times, Carl took us out there as you go, you know, past where Mary Patterson lived, up that, as you go into Racine, he'd take us out there and let us out, and we'd scrounge those hills, and we'd cut our own. And it was always a cedar tree. We didn't really have big Christmases, though. I mean, nothing like we do now. I remember one year I got a bicycle, but it was a used one. Of course, I didn't know it was used, but I found out later. I knew later as I got older. But I got a Betsy Wetsy doll, I remember, one Christmas, and a nurse's kit. A doctor's kit, and then I got a real pretty doll, big doll, one Christmas. They used to have at New Providence what they called the chrysanthemum show, and they had a meal, and that was a big, big affair. And the upstairs in one of those rooms at the top of the steps, one of those rooms has a little platform like in it. Can't think what room that was, but they had a doll wedding there one time. And Lou's and Duke's doll, they had a bride doll. And so she was a bride. And then all the other little girls there, doll, my doll was one of the bridesmaids. And Mary Lotz made those dresses. And they were rust color. And the hat was, you tied it, you tied down there, and the hat was rust, and under was sort of a olive green under the hat. And something happened to that doll. Jinx said she's looked and looked and looked, and I thought it was upstairs, and something happened to it. So
Mary Lotz made dresses, matching dresses
for all those dolls.
Mm-hmm. And that was part of the chrysanthemum
mm-hmm.
show.
And her daughter works up here at Miss Rouse and has for years, a cashier. And one night I went in there 5-6 years ago, and she said, It was after her mother died, and she said, "Guess what I found out there?" She said, "I found a picture of that doll wedding, and I'm going to bring it and let you see it." And she did. She brought it, and that was it. I saw my doll.
Oh, that's a shame we've got lost.
Yeah, I know. The way I love dolls, it is.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody has any pictures of Mrs. Morris's church. Have you ever seen a picture of that?
No, I haven't. I don't know if anybody would have any of it. That would be good if they did. I can't think of anybody there in Brownsburg that would been there long enough. People didn't take many pictures, you know, back then. I don't know if anybody would have one.
Did you always have a phone?
Mm-hmm. We always had a phone. I guess mainly because of Daddy's business, you know. Yeah, he had that phone. Yeah. It was on the wall. And it was, you know, you'd do this and tell the operator two shorts and a long or whatever it was.
So they would call and then he would take the hearse and go get the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure would. Bring them back.
Were there ready-made caskets?
Yes.
Did you have caskets in your house?
Yes, it were. And we got, the caskets would come into the depot over at Fairfield. And Daddy would take, he had a truck, and we'd go over there and get the caskets off of the depot over there, from the depot over there. And he made a lot, we made a lot of long-lasting friends. The one fella was a casket salesman, and he ran the Richmond Woodworking Company. They made the caskets. And his wife and mother became real good friends, and we stayed friends. In fact, his daughter, who is my age, she and her husband were up here about 6 weeks ago and visited us. And we just made lots of good friends through those people. Because then there was no motels, and they'd stay at our house.
Oh,
they'd spend the night.
Oh, uh-huh.
See, the casket salesman would spend the night. Always make our stop last. Daddy always said it's because Mother was such a good cook. And then you're out there where you all live, that was a special place too, because that's where our school played baseball, out there in the field. And man, we get out of school, we'd almost run the whole way to get out there before the game started, unless we could hook a ride with somebody. Sometime we could hook a ride.
Was it the high school baseball team that was
boys. I guess we probably weren't interested in the ball game, we were just interested in the boys. I imagine that's what it was.
Was John Layton a good baseball player?
Yeah, he played. He played. Yeah, he played. Yeah.
What's the most vivid memory of an event you have?
Of an event?
Mm-hmm. What sorts of things happen that stand out in your memory?
Not anything really spectacular ever happened in Brownsburg. It really didn't. It was just kind of always a laid back place, and nothing. I guess there was no dance places and no, you know, nothing like that. I think the saddest event, though, really you call it event, the saddest events was during the war, whenever we'd see that government car come through, we knew somebody had been killed, because that's the way they came. I mean, everybody knew what it looked like. I mean, just you could spot it a mile away, and as soon as you'd see it, you thought, who's next? You know. So, but I don't, as far as events, there's just not much big big stuff that went on there, really.
Your grandparents, did they have relatives who were in the Civil War or had memories of the Civil War? Did anyone ever talk about that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there were any that I can, and I don't think even on my daddy's side, I don't think there were.
Were you related to Molly the photographer?
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you. This Mr. Fishwick that did the book, and I hate I don't have that book. I dug one to take it home with him. Our son lives in Roanoke, and he wanted to take it home with him because there were a lot of pictures of Daddy in there. And I have some that I'll show you before you go, Daddy, that Uncle Mike did. But I'm not sure that any of them were. But in that book now, that might tell you something in there. Because, see, Uncle Mike was Robert E. Lee's photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be something in that. I think it says, the name of it is The Life and Works of Michael Miley. I mean, they had a, it's been about 25 or maybe more years than that ago. Washington Lee had did something to honor him, and they had a reception and all, and we went. And they had all these slides on the screen of Daddy and some of the others that he had done. So there might be something in that
mm-hmm,
book that
mm-hmm.
none in the Civil War, I don't believe. That I can think of.
Tell me a little bit about what you remember about the black school and the white school.
There wasn't any problem with that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we've all played together. We all played together, and like I said, we always went to their little graduation programs they had up there. And John Layton drove the school bus after they started going to Lilburn up to Lexington.
Oh, he did.
He drove the school bus, and I don't think there was any problems
mm-hmm.
at all.
That's my recollection, that we all played together summer,
mm-hmm.
and then come fall we
mm-hmm.
just went to different schools,
mm-hmm.
and that's just.
Yeah,
that's the way it was.
That's the way it was. Mm-hmm. That's the way it was. I remember, like I told you earlier, you know, we all played over there on the bank together and played with the Pleasant children down. And now up there on the turn, where I was telling you where Will Gilmer's house is, you said the one that has the balcony. That Will and Mary were custodians up at Brownsburg for a while. But when I was a little girl growing up, Will and Mary had an ice cream store there.
Oh, in Brownsburg?
Mm-hmm. And my granddaddy, Dudley, mother, I had long curls, yellow curls. Mother would wrap them around her finger and pull them down like this. And they used to just tangle up and tangle up and tangle up. And when she'd try to brush them out, I would cry. And she'd say, if you don't stop that crying, I'm going to spank you with this hairbrush. And I'm sure she didn't hurt me, but I wouldn't stop because it was hurting. And she'd take that brush on my leg and do like that. Well, if my granddaddy happened to be anywhere near, he'd just grab me up and say, just come on, go with granddaddy. And he'd take me up to Will and Mary's and get me ice cream. And they had that ice cream store for a little while.
Did they make the ice cream?
I don't know. I asked John Layton one time if he remembered, and he said he didn't know either if they did or not. But they probably did.
Was it in their house?
Did they it was down in that bottom part.
And then they lived upstairs?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In that bottom part.
Did you ever hear anyone talk about Virginia Gilmore? Did you know Virginia Gilmore?
Yeah.
Someone told me she had been a midwife, too.
Let's see now. I hadn't thought about her for a long time. I'm trying to think where she lived.
I think she might have lived out on Dry Hollow Road.
Yeah, I believe she did. Mm-hmm.
Was she related to those Gilmores who had the ice cream store?
I don't know. I don't know if she was or not. I don't know. I had forgotten all about her. But I remember now. I mean, I can picture in my mind.
What was the other midwife's name?
Aunt Mariah Fisher. She lived over there on the hill. As you go up the hill, she lived in the house. I think that house has been torn down there now. She lived in one of those little houses on the left as you go up. Another thing that was happened in Brownsburg was kind of, it was scary, but it was, after it was all over, I mean, people, in fact, I saw him at his sister's, little Carwell boy, I saw him at Mildred's funeral, and I was talking to, about it. Herb, you know Herb Carwell? There was a culvert that ran down there in front of their house. It was just big rain came. And Herb must, I believe Herb told me he was about 2 or 2.5. And they were out there playing in the water, and Herb slipped and went through the culvert and came out on the other end.
Oh my gosh.
We still teasing him, and I asked him last time I went, I said, have you been going through any culverts lately? So funny.
Oh, I know. I'd ask you about if you remembered when their house burned.
Uh-huh. Lois burned.
Do you remember when they built the Sears house?
Mm-hmm.
Was that big deal in Brownsburg?
I think it wasn't as exciting then, I don't believe, as it is now. You know, since then it's been in the, I remember one time it was in the paper that Sears house.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I was telling somebody the other day, they were asking me about something about Carwell, and I said, they're the ones that lived in the house that Sears Roebuck.
Where did they live while they were rebuilding the
house? Lived there on the corner where Joe Heath lives. And that's why I said it got with Lou and Jude and the Carwell girls, all of us right there together, you know.
How long did it take them to rebuild that house?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Do you remember when they moved back in, when they moved?
I don't remember that. Now, in the house where Lou and them lived last, there was a family of Wade's.
Just mentioned that there was a family of Wade's living in the house where Lou lived last.
Mm-hmm. And they had boys, John Layton's age, and then there was this one little girl. And then they moved, I think, first to Lexington, and then they moved to Stanton. But she and I used to make mud pies together. I remember one time we put eggs in it. But
I bet your mother was mad you wasted an egg.
Well, it was actually at her house we did making the mud pies. And that's something else. You couldn't do it now in these days because the school wouldn't let you. But back when I was in the first grade, you had more freedom than you have now. And Miss Whipple, one weekend, Saturday, she was from Goshen. And so she took me and the two other little girls home with her to spend the night. And I mean, we had a good time. We dressed up in her evening dresses, and we had makeup, and everywhere I went, I got car sick. And Mother had gone to town, and she bought a new coat. It was in the spring. She bought a new coat, and we all had new shoes. And going through Goshen Pass, it all came up. And I was just so upset. I cried. She said, don't worry about it. My mother will get it fixed. So sure enough, We got there and Miss Hall cleaned my coat up and it was okay. We went to church on that Sunday morning then, and then she brought us back Sunday afternoon before, so we'd be ready to go to school the next morning, you know.
Did you get sick on the way home?
I didn't get sick on the way home. But mother was famous for telling me to hold my head out the window. Put my head out the window. She, when I told mother I got sick, she said, "Did you hold your head out the window? Did you hold your head out the window?" I said, "I don't know. I was so sick." We had a good time over there. And the boys played with John Layton. They were the Wade boys were his age, and shot marbles and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Tell me a little bit more about your mother's family. She had
mother was the middle child. She had an older brother. He was in World War I, Uncle Bill. And then she had a younger sister who I love, Annie B, we called her. Her name was Genevieve, but everybody called her B, so we called her Annie B. And they lived a while with Grandma and Granddaddy up there, and then Uncle Ray worked for Daddy for a while in the store and an undertaker, and then they came to Stanton, and he worked in a Reed's grocery store down here, and then he and another fella decided they were going to go to work for the railroad. So they went to Wilmington, Delaware, and they spent the rest of their life in Wilmington. But we went faithfully to visit them, and when the kids were little, Earl and I, all we could do was just raise kids, and you know, we didn't have any extras, and so I'd take the two children and go up there, and we'd spend 10 days with Annie B and Uncle Ray and have a really good time. One time I went on the train, but then I got really brave and started driving. So that was fun, but Annie B was the youngest, and she, Uncle Ray was 21, and he married her, 20 or 21, and she was 15. And they had a basketball game. It was in the wintertime, January, and she was I think back then they called it the point maker on the team. And Grandma and Granddaddy had gotten her a new winter coat. And they had a basketball game that night. And Uncle Ray had talked her into running off with him and getting married. So she asked Grandma if she could wear her new coat to school that day. And Grandma said, "No, that coat is not for school, it's for Sunday." Some way she talked her into it anyway. And Annie B wanted the coat because she knew she was going to run away. So she wore the coat, and up there at the school, I think that style is still there where you cross over and go down to where Driver lives. It's like a pigsty, you know, go up and down. So she went over that fence. She and Uncle Ray had made it up. And she went up and over that fence. And when I, that road going toward Miss Jen Wade's place, somebody they knew lived out there in that little house just before you get there, and that's where he was to pick her up. And he did. And they went to Hagerstown and got married. And so the ball team lost the game that night. And Annie B never went back to school.
But so she went before the game instead of after
she
the game.
Went that day. She went to school. Oh, and that morning. Oh. That morning she didn't go
to
school.
She didn't go to school.
She just went on.
And word didn't get back down to
and
your
grandmother? And word didn't get down. And mother said, and Annie B said too, she said, "I really thought Papa," they called Granddaddy Papa, "that I really thought Papa was going to kill him because he said if I ever get my hands on him." But he ended up, they moved in with them and late till they got a place to go. And they got three lovely children. They were married 65, 6 years. Both of them are dead now. So it turned out okay.
Happy ending, yeah.
Happy ending. Was, Mother said it was tough going there for a while.
Mm-hmm,
got granddaddy, granddaddy calmed down. And granddaddy worked over at Fordwick at the, what did they call that place? I've heard him say it many times. It was like a, can't think now what it was, but it seemed to me like it had something to do with rock.
What's Fordwick?
Fordwick, over at Goshen, that's the name of the little town at Fordwick,
uh-huh.
Down near Augusta Springs. And he worked over there, and then his later life, his health, well, he had a bad heart, that's what killed him. But he just did mostly day work for farms, you know, cut corn and worked in new ground and that kind of stuff. And grandma took in washing, and they just were happy. Just, they didn't want a whole lot. And of course, after daddy and mother got married, daddy did a lot of helping them. You know, he would have helped them more, but they just didn't want it. They just did not want help.
Well, did Annie B. get married before your mother?
No. Mother got married in 1921, I think. I found her wedding certificate the other day. It was 1921, I think, is when she got married. Annie B., I believe, was 9 years younger than Mother. I think that's what it was. And Uncle Bill was older than Mother.
And where did your mother get married?
Mother got married to my daddy in Stanton. That house has been torn down, too. Aunt Mag, the one I was telling you lived at Newport, she worked in Stanton for the a family of Heights. They were that Heights liniment and drugstore and all in Stanton. And she worked for them. They had a big, big, beautiful home there on the corner, right across from where the old parking garage is. And she got married there in that house. Where she got married.
Well, I think I've covered all my questions. Should we stop the tape for a minute, and then you can look at your notes and
okay.
See if there are things that...
Okay.
I believe you covered everything.
We had stopped the tape for a minute while Mrs. Chittum looked over her notes again, and she has a few more stories to tell us. Could you talk a little bit about Mrs. Whipple and staying with her?
Miss Whipple lived diagonally across the road from us, and when Fred was working in Richmond for a while, Freddie was little. A little boy, and Miss Whipple didn't like to stay at night by herself, so I would go over at night and spend the night with her, and then I'd get up in the morning and run back across the road and get dressed for school, and then I'd do the same thing again. Sometimes he'd be gone all week, but sometimes he wouldn't be gone for 3 or 4 days. A lot of times it was all week.
Who was he working for?
I think it was the IRS he was working for in Richmond.
And how old were you then when you were doing that?
You know, I was talking to Ms. Whipple the other day on the phone, and I was asking her, I was trying to figure out about how old I was, and I think I must have been about in the, maybe the 7th grade or first or year high school. See, we didn't have 8th grade then. So it was somewhere in that time. First year of high school, something like that.
And Freddie was just a little bit.
Freddie was little. Mm-hmm. He was a little boy. I don't know exactly how old, but he was a little boy.
Who else did you babysit for?
Well, I babysat some. I called it babysitting. I'm sure Ms. Williams wouldn't leave me by myself because that was I was young too. But she would put Joe, who was their oldest child, she would put him out in the yard in the playpen, and then I'd go watch him while she was busy in the house doing something or whatever she had to do, and I would just play out there with him in the playpen. I called it babysitting.
Dr.
Joe Williams. He delivered both of my children.
Oh, he did.
Dr. Joe delivered both of my children. So, Doug and Tammy.
Mm-hmm. He babysat his little boy, and then he delivered your
baby. That's exactly right. And he sure did. I stayed in contact with them and visited them when they were in nursing homes.
How long did they live in Brownsville, the Williams?
Well, let me see. Now, they came around 1940. They weren't there when Daddy died because either he had just come or I don't believe he was there yet. And they weren't married when he got there. They married after he got there. And I think they must have come there around maybe 1941, something like that. Because I think he, about that time, it was either 40 or 41 when they came, and then they were married the following May.
Was Mrs. Williams from around Brownsburg, or did he know her before?
No, she was from Richmond. Oh. She was from Richmond. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was from Richmond. And didn't know who it was at the time, but when I was going to Mary Baldwin, of course I was older than most of the Mary Baldwin girls, and there was this girl there that was, her name was Louise Tabb, and I knew Ms. Williams was, and so it was Ms. Williams's niece, and she is now Freddie's wife.
That's a nice story. And was there a doctor in Brownsburg in that house before Dr. Williams?
Oh, yes, there was. See, Dr. Bailey was there.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned Dr. Bailey.
And there was a doctor, I kind of believe Dr. Green maybe delivered John Layton. I'm not sure. There was a Dr. Green there. Maybe he delivered me.
Someone told me that Dr. Bailey had an airplane.
Mm-hmm. He did.
That was one of the biggest surprises.
Yeah,
for me.
I had forgotten that, but he did.
Someone in Brownsburg had an airplane.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
And landed it out along Hayes Creek there.
I don't remember. I don't remember that, but he did have an airplane. I do remember Daddy talking about that.
You mentioned also that Miss Jen Wade was someone.
Miss Jen Wade. Mm-hmm. She was. She taught Sunday school, and of course she was in the choir and helped with the choir. And I don't know. I just always thought she was just a very lady that I admired a lot. She's so just seemed like she was just such a nice person.
Did she teach you in Sunday school?
No, Eleanor did though. Eleanor did, and Miss Sally Reed McClung did, and Miss Carrie Lucas, and Mr. McNutt was our head of one of our departments, junior, I think. And I can't recall some of the others, but I loved Sunday school, and I loved to go to Bible school in the summertime. I look forward to doing that.
Was Bible school 1 week then?
I believe it was 2 weeks.
In the morning?
Mm-hmm, in the morning.
Ride the bus?
Mm-hmm, got to ride the bus, and then you'd sit out there on the front steps, have your snack, and it was always homemade cookies, and some farmer, which you could not do now, but some farmer furnished the milk, ice cold milk.
Right, couldn't do that these days, unpasteurized milk.
That's right. Got to have everything sterilized, the cups and everything sterilized. But you didn't then, and it was fun.
Because you normally got to walk to school, so ride the bus must be.
I walked to school, and we came home for lunch. Mother had Mother had hot lunch because, and I wanted to pack my lunch, so Mother kept saying, "You don't have a lunch box. You don't have a lunch box." Because she wanted me to come home. And, so one Christmas, my grandmother, probably, I don't know, whether she could have afforded it or not, but anyway, one Christmas she gave me a lunchbox. And I'd like to have that too, but I don't.
So yeah. Did you get to pack your lunch every day?
I got to pack it some.
Mm-hmm. But not every day?
Not every day. And one thing, and a little story, Mother made me wear galoshes. These rubber galoshes, if it even called for rain, I had to put those things on. And I just hated them. And so I would take them off, and when I'd walk up there past where the, because on the corner there was a little bridge like that, and I would put those galoshes under that bridge. Well, I made a mistake by telling John Layton that that's what I did. And after I had told him, then he used it for blackmail. Because anytime he wanted me to do anything then, I'd say wasn't going to do it, or it was just some little something he wanted me to do. And I'd say, no, I'm not going to do it. And he said, I'm going to tell Mother you put your galoshes under that bridge. So I always had to end up doing it. I don't know whether I ever got nerve enough to say, well, go ahead and tell her. I don't know if I did or not. But I do remember putting those galoshes under there and then picking them up. And I always worried about it, because I worried that I'd forget them and leave them under there. When I'd go home in the afternoon, see, I'd pick them up. And I'd go, what if I forget those things?
Where was the little bridge?
It was right when you pass. That has going up to the school. It was kind of a little.
Where Mrs. Whipple lived?
Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a little dip there, and they just had kind of a little, I don't know whether you call it a bridge or not, but it was just a little thing that you walked over. I told Mother about it. Mother and I used to sit and I'd tell her those things. And hid my galoshes. I didn't wear them at school. I hid them.
You finally confessed.
Yeah.
And another way that she supported herself after your father died was taking in boarders?
Only Mr. Huffman.
And who was he?
He ran the service station. Elmer Huffman ran the service station before Roy took it. Before Roy ran it. Elmer Huffman ran it.
Oh, in Brownstown?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But so he had lived in Lexington?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then
he lived in Lexington.
So he'd live at your house
in the week. Sometimes he'd go back during the week, but you know, he might stay a couple of nights or two, three nights, but he had a room there and he came up there and ate lunch.
Mm-hmm. So he would close the service station, come up and have lunch? Did he have
I think Mr. Wiseman worked there then.
Oh.
Yeah, Mr. Wiseman mm-hmm. worked there then. That was before he went to work at the farm store.
Mm-hmm. And did your family have someone who worked for you when they had the store?
No, just Mother helped and Dad. And my uncle, Linda, I told you that, Mother's sister's husband,
mm-hmm.
he
mm-hmm.
helped. But he helped Daddy at the funeral doings and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. Chittum, are there other stories you'd like to tell me? Or
I don't think, I think I've told you everything. Everything that I can think of that.
Well, your memory's fabulous.
I hope I keep it. I hope I keep it. Sometimes, you know, I hear, like, what did I do with this?
I do that all the time.
You know, I was reading this little thing the other day, and I said, this lady go to the bottom of the steps, and she said, was I going up or coming down? So sometimes I can't remember anything, but. I do have a pretty good memory.
Well,
I think we
certainly appreciate your time and thank you so much.
I really enjoyed it. And I think it's just wonderful that I played in that house where the museum is many times. That's where one of the little girls lived that went home with Miss Whipple for the weekend. Dunaways lived there.
Oh.
And Beulah, her sister, carried the mail and we called her Duty. Her name was Elizabeth. She's dead. And they lived there. And she and Tootsie Wade and I went the ones that went home with Miss Whipple.
What was your name?
My name, everybody in Brownsburg called me Pookie.
Pookie, Duty, mm-hmm. and Tootsie.
Tootsie. And now Miss Whipple still does. When she calls me quite often, and as soon as she says Pookie, I know exactly who it is. And when anybody calls me Pookie, they'll say, sometimes somebody will call and say, Pookie, and I don't know who it is, and they'll say, I said, I don't know who you are, but I know you're from Brownsburg, because nobody down here knows that name.
Pookie, that's funny, yeah. What was John
Layden's
nickname?
He didn't have it.
He didn't have one?
They I don't think they named me for a long time, I mean, a couple weeks, and Mother said, you know, we've got it. They had Ann picked out because of Daddy's mother. And she said, we've got to name this baby. And she said, Mother told us many times that he was just looking over the cradle. And he said, well, let's just call her Pookie. So that's what it
is. So you were Pookie before you were Marjorie.
That's right. So that was just stuck.
Where did Marjorie come from?
I have no idea. I told Mother so many times, I said, Mother, why in the world would you think of naming me that when your name was Mary? You could have named me Mary Ann. Margaret Ann, and our mother's name was Martha, grandma's Martha Ann, but she picked up this Marjorie, and now it's not, I get it Margie all the time. So, it's done now.
Well, again, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.